Well, it's a tremendous privilege to be with you tonight, and I thank you for the invitation. I've been here before, in case I look semi-familiar to you. I believe I came a while back and did a bit of a seminar or workshop, and some of you came to that workshop and listened, and others took naps, and your names were written down by the leaders of the church. Just kidding. It's really my privilege to be with you tonight and to spend some time together in God's Word. That's far more important than anything that I would say or that I would share personally. So what does the Word of God say? That has to be our absolute standard. In a world so confused about what one's final authority ought to be for what we believe and how we behave, the Word of God has to be our final authority. And so in every facet of life, whether on a personal level or whether on a church level, let's ask, what does God's Word say? And let's do our very best to follow that Word. I've been told I have maybe 2 to 3 hours that I can share with you tonight. Is that what was communicated? Not at all. I understand. I'll keep my comments brief. But as I prayed about and thought about what I could share with you tonight, I was reminded of a very good book that if you've not read it, I would recommend you put it on your reading list. And that's the book, Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. How many have read that book, The Five Love Languages? Good. Then you're familiar with what Gary Chapman says, that we love and we receive love in five different ways. And he talks about those who whose love language is giving gifts, or those whose love language is quality time. Those whose love language are words of affirmation, which in a sense is what we're doing tonight. We're affirming those who have served well in this church. The fourth way of loving is acts of service, and the last is physical touch. I think Chapman's onto something there. I really think he is. That's transcultural. That's not simply related to Western Christians, but to Christians all over the world. There are five different ways that we love and five different ways that we could be loved. And I like that first one, the giving of gifts. I like receiving gifts, but giving of gifts is also very important. This is my wife's primary love language. She loves every Saturday morning to go to garage sales. She believes it's part of being a spiritual Christian to go to garage sales every Saturday morning. So if you do something else on Saturday morning, you don't go to garage sales, you should think and examine your own spirituality. But she goes every Saturday morning and buys gifts. Buys gifts for me, buys gifts for the family, for the grandchildren, for strangers. She just buys things at garage sales and often winds up giving them away. That's how she loves. She gives gifts. How she likes to be loved, she would say, would be quality time. That's that second idea. People spending time with her. My love language, that is how I appreciate, how I receive love, are words of affirmation. It means a lot to me for people to say, your message really blessed me. That's encouraging to me. And so words of affirmation, words of encouragement. Sometimes we don't say those words. We just assume that people are okay in their service and that they know they're appreciated. But we need to put into words our affection for them and our appreciation. The fourth gift would be acts of service, looking to serve others. I think that's my daughter's primary love language. And the last would be physical touch. We need human touch. In our non-touch technological age, we need touch. It's important. And so I tease my wife once in a while because I preach every Sunday. I'm preaching in a small church in Augusta, Georgia. And that's only until the end of this year. And starting in January, I will be a teaching pastor up in Asheville, North Carolina, but doing that only on weekends. So we'll be doing a lot of driving. I'll get to know the highway pretty well between here and Asheville. But I'll be their teaching pastor. So when my wife is in the congregation and I preach my heart out, I've preached my best sermon, I've spent all kinds of hours studying the text and trying to put together the very best sermon that I can put together, it's important for me after the service, privately, to say to my wife, how did I do? And because the way she loves is not words of affirmation, she'll say, fine, That's devastating to me. But then the next day she goes out and buys me a pair of socks. So that's her gift, you know. Her gift is giving. So she'll buy me a gift. So I have a lot of socks, you know, where my wife is basically saying, you did a good job. It's worth asking the question, how do you love and how do you like to be loved? It's important to talk about that, especially if you're in a marriage situation. I'm amazed as I think through several scriptures as to how the Lord Jesus Christ showed his love for his disciples. And you can jot these texts down if you wish. Let me read them to you. There are a number of passages I want to go to tonight. But I think of this high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, where the Lord Jesus says some amazing things. Listen as he prays to the Father. John 17, verse 6. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, listen, and they have obeyed your word. Really? When? So often we see the disciples responding, not in, how did you know that was my text? It's amazing. They respond not out of obedience, but out of disobedience, out of a lack of faith. But there in verse 6, he says, they have obeyed your word. If you jump down to verse 10, Jesus says this, all I have is yours and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. Talk about words of affirmation. Glory has come to me through them. I could fully understand if Jesus had said to the Father, and embarrassment has come to me through them. Humiliation, trial, grief, trouble. That's not what he says. Are y'all with me? Glory. Glory has come to me through them. So, may I suggest the Lord Jesus loved his disciples by saying very positive things about their imperfect, finite walk of obedience. You know, every culture is fallen. Whether it's Western culture or Chinese culture or African culture, every culture is fallen. And we all have our strengths and our weaknesses. I think in Western culture, people can get way too quickly proud and boastful about what they do or what they say or how they behave. It's also possible that some cultures don't give enough attention to words of affirmation, to encouraging each other in their service. You know, it's not humility to deny our gifts. When the Lord gives us gifts and gives us abilities to serve Him, it should not surprise us when Christians come and speak words of affirmation to us. Maybe say to us, I deeply appreciate what you've done. Thank you for your service. I would argue it's unspiritual to say to someone, don't thank me, thank Jesus. Are y'all listening? I don't think it's spiritual to say, don't thank me, thank Jesus. I think a better response is, thank you, I'm glad the Lord could use it. It's not humility to deny the gifts that God has given to us. And when other human beings recognize the gifts that we have and thank us for our service, that's a positive thing. That's not a negative thing. Because I think all of us deep down need to be loved in various ways, and most of us need to hear words of affirmation. Now, what I want to do in the rest of my time is look at some of the statements that the Apostle Paul makes about some of his fellow workers. Maybe you've noticed those. Or maybe, if you're like me, you've kind of skipped over them as you've done your Bible study and you've moved on to some other section. Paul makes a lot of personal references in his epistles and says some astounding things about those with whom he worked or about whom he knew were engaged in ministry. So let me give you a few texts here. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Philippians 1, 3 through 6. Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What an amazing statement. Notice he uses the expression, your partnership in the gospel. We're in this together. We are called co-laborers with Christ. Can you think of a more exalted title than that? We are co-workers with the Lord Jesus. We are involved in a partnership in the gospel. As Paul says there in Philippians chapter 1, he is thankful for those believers. If you go over to Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. Here's what Paul says. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you've already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Did you see it there? Paul names. He does that when it comes to heretics. He does that when it comes to false teachers. He does not hesitate to spell out those who are upsetting the household of God. That's a kind of negative thing. Important, but negative. In a positive sense, he names his co-workers. And here he focuses upon Epaphras. Notice he calls him our dear fellow servant, a faithful minister of Christ. Aren't those wonderful words? Don't you kind of wish your first name was Epaphras? Right? Are you all following what I'm trying to say tonight? Trying to say we need to go out of our way to speak words of affirmation to each other, to affirm one another, to say, I thank God for the work and the service that you are giving as you are a faithful minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not wrong to do that. I would argue it's wrong not to do that. And Paul is setting us an example here. I've got five more texts. Are y'all, you're sitting down? You're okay? I just got going on this. I had more fun going through this. When you get to be my age, you discover you go to bed about 9 or 9:30. It's getting real close to my bedtime right now. But my wife and I are up at 5, 5:15, 5:30. We're up nice and early. And I love spending time in the Word. I have a blog, if you should ever want to follow my blog. It's very easy to find. And I can see you all reaching for pens because you want to follow someone else's blog. It's found at larrydixon.wordpress.com. One word, my name, larrydixon.wordpress.com. I've been going through the book of Psalms. I've been having a wonderful time early in the morning going through the book of Psalms. I've discovered so many things as I kind of blog about the Psalms. I'm already up to Psalm 104. I have blog entries all the way to the middle of next year. If Jesus comes back, it's going to mess up my blog. Something fierce. I also occasionally have political cartoons as well. I don't know about you, but I believe our God is sovereign and he's driving us to our knees at this time of the year as we suffer through the evil of two lessers. Paul goes on in Colossians chapter 4 toward the end of the book and says this, Colossians 4 beginning verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances, that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that's happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who's called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they've proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, notice the second reference to him, who was one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he's working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. Again, Paul does not hesitate to name names. And he speaks positively about these co-workers. Did you notice the reference in verse 14 to Demas? In another epistle, we learn that Demas has loved this present world and turned away from the faith. I wonder if when we don't speak words of affirmation to each other, if we are actually encouraging believers to become cold to the things of God. Notice the reference again, by the way, to Epaphras in verse 12. He's always wrestling in prayer for you. I grew up in North Carolina, and I remember going to high school, and the one part of gym class that I hated was wrestling class. We called it wrestling class. And the reason I hated it is because I was rather thin at the time, and the coach would always pair me up with some large, fat, sweaty guy, and we'd have to wrestle. And the wrestling room that we had in that high school in North Carolina, the wrestling room, had mats on the floor, right? And that would basically to make it softer when you got pinned by some large, fat, sweaty guy. But on the ceilings, they had posters on the ceilings. And the poster read something like this: if you can read this, you've been pinned. I was the speed reader in wrestling class. I read all the signs. I don't have happy memories of that. Epaphras wrestles for you in prayer. It's one thing to do that. And it's important that we do that for each other. But may I suggest to you there are times when we need to go beyond wrestling in prayer for each other and maybe tell the other person, I'm wrestling in prayer for you. I'm praying for you. You may be going through something very difficult right now, but I, by God's grace, am praying for you. Four more texts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Here we read the following. Paul says, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." Can you say that about any other Christian? Are you so invested in other believers that you not only thank God for their service, but they're such an encouragement to you, you'd actually refer to them as your glory and your joy? It almost sounds a little unspiritual, doesn't it, to elevate other human beings that high? Paul did it. He was grateful for the ministry of those that knew him and served him with him in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19 and 20. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13? 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13 says, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you." There you go. You need any more reasons to have a meeting like this? "Acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other." We are on solid biblical grounds in acknowledging those who work hard among us. Can I hear an amen? That was the most pathetic amen I've ever heard in all my years in church. Can I hear a more enthusiastic amen? That was better. Once in a great while, I get to preach in African-American churches. I love it. You know why? They let you know how you're doing. If you're doing okay, they say amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. If you're struggling, they'll say, have mercy, Lord. Have mercy. I have heard more mercies than I can count. But they talk to you, right? They talk to you. We are on solid ground in acknowledging those who work hard among us. Two other texts, 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 and 4. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 and 4. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. Boasting about anybody else? Where to do that? Now, that's not only words of affirmation from you to that other person. That's words of affirmation about that other person you're sharing with other people. Does that make sense? Not only do we speak words of affirmation to each other, we ought to say nice things about each other to other people. Why? Because we love each other. And because we are thankful for what God is doing in our lives. And that is evidence of our love for one another. And last text is 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. I need encouragement. How about you? I really need encouragement. Hallelujah. Have mercy, Jesus. I need encouragement. And I bet you do too. I bet you do too. Some of us act like we don't need anybody to ever notice what we're doing. And we don't ever need anybody to point out what we're doing and thank us for what we're doing. That's not, I've made my case, haven't I? I think I've proved categorically that if the Apostle Paul is our example, we need to be looking for opportunities to speak words of affirmation to each other, and maybe once in a while, even buy each other socks. No, I'm kidding about that part, but you know, showing our love for each other, showing our love for the Lord, showing our thanksgiving for God, enabling each of us to serve in the ways that we do. So I congratulate all of you. I encourage all of you in doing what you're doing tonight. It's an important thing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these words of encouragement. We desperately need to hear your voice in our hearts, encouraging us in the ministries that we have been given. Lord, we want to be faithful. We want to give you the glory. But we also want to be biblical in the sense that we acknowledge each other's contributions to the overall mission of the Lord Jesus. Help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.